What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Evan is Tiki here on The Fan. Evan on vacation in one of the Carolinas. I don't remember which one.
I think it might be north.
Did they add a Carolina? It's north or south.
It's Middle Carolina.
Middle Carolina. And Sean Marash is also on vacation. He's probably in a tube somewhere in Lake George tweeting about Jackson Dart, which we will get into coming up later on in the show. We'll get into the Yankees, why I think they have a Max Fried problem. Baseball realignment. Rob Manfred had a lot to say about that yesterday on the telecast. Between the Mets and the Mariners, the Little League game, Williamsport. And I think that's a good spot to open with the show today. First and foremost, let me just say this. The Mets are going to the postseason. So if you've made vacation plans in October, shame on you. Anybody that's given up, anybody that lives in my mentions, and I know that was a big deal last week, Tiki, when I was out on Friday enjoying my 40th birthday, which is tomorrow. I've been having a birthday month here, but it's a 40. It's a big one.
Happy birthday,
Tommy. Oh, thank you.
Tomorrow's, officially, I'll give it to you.
Tomorrow's my 40th birthday, so please Venmo me money. I could use it. I heard that I was getting a lot of shrapnel for this, so I want to kind of take you through the weekend that was mine with the Mets and also just, you know, from my perspective and the team themselves, Tiki, but when we last left on Friday, or at least you guys, because I wasn't here, the Mets were in a situation where it seemed like every night was their worst loss of the season.
It was their worst loss of the season because they couldn't win regardless of what happened.
Right.
Period.
And then on Friday night, as I'm sitting there splitting a tomahawk steak with my wife, medium rare, I'm an aristocrat, out of the corner of my eye, because I was trying to be a good husband, and I know you have to be a good sports talk radio host, but I think above all, I'm a human and a husband, and my wife, who doesn't understand the dynamics of sports.
Right.
You know what I mean? The two things she knows about sports is another football game. Are you serious? I'm like, honey, I got to watch the Citadel in Florida here. It's a very important game for my job.
There's a little shekels on this one.
Exactly. And also that baseball, there's so many games as well. She'll check in from now and then, but you know, we're out in Manhattan. We got a hotel in the city. So I had like one eye on the game. And I see that Helsley's coming into the game. And I'm like, okay, all right, positive, Tommy. Everything's good here. Got a lead. And obviously, we know what happened on Friday night. So after that game, Tiki, I put out on social media, and I'll sort of regurgitate it here on the air, is that the Mets have a lead in every one of these games.
Always.
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 And yet, the leads are not turning into wins. Mm. So what I said on social media, which went over not great, and I got a lot of, you know, death threats, and you suck, and you're the worst ever. And this
is just being positive Tommy.
Right, I'm just being positive Tommy, and I guess people were turning on me a little bit. But what I said was, they're in on all these games. They have a lead in every single game. They just haven't been able to close out these baseball games. So I understand it's a results-oriented business, but you felt like they were close. You felt like if they put everything together, they would start to go on a winning streak. And all it takes is one moment. And then Saturday rolls along, and you get Nolan McLean's debut, which was great. Had the whole family there. And listen to what I'll say real quick.
It was outstanding. He was better than great.
He was great. And also, he feeds the pythons. Guy's got, you know, major biceps, what I appreciate. Double Wagyu steak as his pregame meal, his father was saying. So, you know, he's a dude. You know, he's a dog. And he had the backwards sort of double play. And it was that one moment there, Tiki, where I think it was bases loaded. He got the backwards double play. And that sort of set the Mets in motion, I think, to set the tone for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, when you have desperation, because that's what it was. That's what it has felt like for the Mets. Almost every night they go out to play, this is a desperate night. Somebody has to step up and be great, whether it was the one-off win that they got when Pete Alonso went 243 or 253 and 254, that one win and that swamp of losses. It just felt like somebody's got to come be the hero. And on Saturday, much anticipated and delivered to the T, Nolan McLean, it just felt better. You just felt better because maybe it was the solution that you were looking for, that you were desperate for. And then you followed up with Clay Holmes, who everybody thought was going to crap the bed in the Little League game. actually pitched pretty well. Had some issues, but he got out of the fourth and ultimately had a 1-2-3 fifth and hit his limit. That's where his limit is. We know it. He's going to get five innings. And after that, everything kind of fell into place. So I don't want to say that Nolan McLean is the savior, because he's not. He pitches once every 5 days, maybe even six. Who knows? But he's the example of doing things right for this Mets that they sorely needed, absolutely needed.
Yeah, and you brought up Clay Holmes, who, by the way, his ERA is starting to creep closer and closer to Max Fried's. More on that in a little bit.
Get off Max Fried.
Well, I think it's...
Want to win this wager with Sean.
It's not just that. I had an answer for that thing that I said, a couple months ago or whatever, about a couple months ago, that, Clay Holmes will have a better career with the Mets than Max Fried will with the Yankees.
Was it career or was it season?
Both. It was season. I first said career, and then they held me to the... For the purpose of the bet, it's this season, Teak. But my original take was that Clay Holmes would have a better career with the Mets than Max Fried will have with the Yankees. And Holmes pitched well yesterday. And he's been up and down, but for the most part, he has pitched well. It's more about length and getting, five innings out of him than it is about the quality of pitches.
Well, that's just because it's his first season as a starting
pitcher. Exactly. He's stretched out. He's doubled the innings of his, career high at this point. And 888-808-1019 is the number to call. But I felt like all along here, when the Mets were going through it and they had lost, whatever it was, 12 out of 14, and I was receiving a lot of shrapnel on social media about it, my whole reason for positivity was I felt like the issues that were surrounding the Mets were all fixable. Meaning, starting with, let's say, Francisco Lindor, who had a rough couple of months. I speculated whether or not the pinky toe injury was sort of holding him back. He has now just been named National League Player of the Week, and this team goes where Francisco Lindor takes him.
Right, he's their leader.
Right, he's been red hot. Juan Soto, he is. If you are in the boat of Juan Soto somehow left his clutch gene in the Bronx, if that's the boat that you want to sit in, then good luck to you, because Juan Soto is going to make a lot of people look foolish. The big hits are on their way, and when they get here, they are going to be in bunches. So I am fully confident that's going to turn around. And the thing that has plagued them the most recently, the 7th, 8th inning, the back of the bullpen. Yeah, I think it's going to be fine, because when I look at Rodgers, Helsley, and especially Diaz, it's elite back there. So I have no issue or no worry that they're not going to turn around a couple things that have plagued them throughout this
week. No, the thing with the Mets, and we talked about this last week, Tommy, and I'm trying to remember if we got deep into the emotional side of sport, because we end up talking so much about execution and guys doing their jobs, and this guy sucks, but this guy's great, and yada yada yada. But sport is so emotional, and for a game like baseball, which is 162 games, it is just long and grinding, and you're doing the same things over and over and over again. And if you get stuck in a rut, it's hard to get out of it, especially if there's nothing to artificially pull you out of it. Last year, the Mets kind of had a similar rut, but they also had something artificial, let's call it OMG, to pull them out of it, right? It was a rallying cry that had nothing to do with how they were playing, but it brought them all together. So there was an emotional lift. And so this Mets team, this current iteration of the Mets, what's that emotional lift? There hasn't been one, unless it's somebody going and balling, someone going doing great things. I think you got a little bit with Pete Alonso when he hit his franchise-leading home runs. You're getting it almost more consistently now from Francisco Lindor, and you got it from Nolan McLean on Saturday. So, this team doesn't have the artificial lift. The only way they're going to get it is if players go ball, period. That's what it comes down to for this Mets team.
Yeah, Saturday was electric at Citi Field, and shout out to all the Met fans, because, as much as I want to be positive and I want to bang the drum and I bring up the big brother stuff with the Mets, which you could see in the numbers here, they're packing the house, I got to hand it to the Met fan, because even though there's been, some frustrations over the last couple of weeks, the fans are still showing up.
Right.
And they're not showing up for a bobblehead or to look at Mrs. Mets Fanny, which, by the way, both things are a reason to go to the ballpark. But they are showing up because I think there is still that optimism and belief, not only in this current team, but in what they are building, what Steve Cohen is building and what David Stearns is building. And David Stearns has received a lot of flack on the air, and I think totally unfairly. When you look at the pitching, first of all, Griffin Canning, before he got hurt, was having an all-star type of season. Is he not part of the strategy that David Stearns has? Okay, he got hurt. We were there. We were at the game. That's unfortunate. Had the Achilles injury. There's nothing you could do about that. But right. he was pitching great. Frankie Montas, so far, hasn't worked out. Not every single move is going to work out. The Rodgers, the Helsley, those trades, you're talking about two elite relievers. And I believe that those were the right moves. They might not have worked out 100%
yet.
The way you wanted to
yet.
But in principle, I still think it was the right move. And I never get nuts about trading prospects. Occasionally, you get a PCA and a Pete Crow Armstrong. And by the way, the only thing I would have held back on that is he's got a famous mama. So not only did you trade him, you traded his mama. And obviously, if you don't know, she was the mom in Little Big League. So when I'm trading players, Teak, I like to look at prospects. I want to say, does he have a fun name like Jet Williams, which is one of the great baseball names of all time?
Absolutely.
And then I say, do you have a famous mama? And if you have one of those two things, I'd probably hold off on. Otherwise, anybody to me is expendable. That's half tongue-in-cheek. But for the most part, most prospects don't pan out. When you can add a Rodgers and a Helsley and they can help you win a World Series, it's worth it every time. So I think the demise of the pitching lab is grossly exaggerated.
Well, I mean, you just mentioned the Griffin Canning injury. But let's think about the guys that got hurt. So Kodai Senga gets hurt. He misses some time. Griffin Canning is done. Tylor Megill is hurt, and now he's about to come back. It looks like he's had some really good starts in AAA. And if
Sean Manaea missed a lot of
time. Sean Manaea missed a lot of time. So this plan, which we all thought was a pretty damn good plan, kind of got derailed because of the injuries. And at the time, Tylor Megill was leading the team in strikeouts, right? He's been a strikeout machine. And so eventually, he's going to come back. Kodai Senga is back. Now, he had a better start, but it's not elite like he was before his injury. But Kodai Senga is back. Sean Manaea had a decent start on Friday. It wasn't lights out. And now you throw in Nolan McClain. It's almost like you're readjusting the plan to fit what the reality is right now. And so is there reason to be optimistic? Of course. But two in a row, meaning two wins in a row, is not going to get you back on track. They need a streak of six wins in a row or seven wins in a row to make us as fans and as media feel like, okay, they've weathered the bad part of this season.
Right, and they'll have the Nationals. They're off tonight, and then they got the Nationals coming up here, and they have a lot of divisional opponents coming up. You have the Marlins, I'm out of order here, Marlins, Braves, and then they have, seven remaining games with the Phillies. And anybody that wants to dream big about the National League East, the Reds are obviously more of a clear and present danger here, so I think the focus should be on the final wild card spot. That's not to say you're giving up on the division. I have not. I still have high hopes. I will always have the high hopes. And when you have this many games against the Phillies, I think it's fair to say that the Mets are still in it and still alive for the NL East, title. But right now, I think the focus should be on the Nationals, which is the team that you're going to be playing next, and what the Reds are doing here. And obviously the Brewers and Tiki Barber. You know what? I thought about you this weekend, and I'll provide context with that because I think sometimes it's important to provide context. When the Brewers battled back from 8-1 down, I think it was on Friday, I thought back to the conversation that you had with Evan last week where I thought he was unfairly, kind of going against you, where you had said, well, listen, the Brewers fought back on the Mets, but they do that to everybody. He said, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they do that. And then here we are, they do it again to the Reds.
They do it every night.
And sometimes you have to tip your cap to the opponent, and you have to say Milwaukee's been one of the hottest teams in baseball, one of the best teams in baseball last couple of months, and they make teams and bullpens look foolish.
Of course they do. I mean, hell, they won 14 in a row before they finally lost the game. 14 games in a row, which is ridiculous, especially when you look at them on paper and say, well, who's destroying you here? And so you give them credit. So what they did over this weekend is exactly what they've done to a lot of teams, including the Mets. Now, you did miss one series when you were talking about who the Mets have coming up next. And it sucks, but it's the reality. After Washington, it's Atlanta.
Yeah, they're in Atlanta. Yeah.
So that sucks. It's an opportunity. At some point, the Mets have to dominate the Braves. They have to. I think if they want to exercise whatever this thing is hanging over them every now and then, it's dominate the Braves.
Yeah, you would have thought they exercised that last year in the way the season ended. The reason why I left that part out is because I have a tough time with this as positive Tommy, because I know there are a lot of skeletons in the Brave closet, and right. I know when Atlanta sees the Mets, it's their World Series, and there's just so many demons with Met fans, especially when they are playing the Braves in Atlanta. So I was kind of holding that off till we got there. But you're absolutely right. At some point, you have to, and I felt this way last year, too, when they were battling it out, is that at some point, you have to look the Braves dead in the eye and say, I'm no longer, you know, whatever.
They're, I'm not scared of you.
I'm not as scared of you. I'm not afraid of the Braves. And I think as a fan base, we have to be the same way. And I think that's why I say the things I say after the game, is because, you know, at some point, because I'll get, oh, well, 50 years, you know, they know, well, all right, well, that things change. Mm. I mean, we can't just sit here and say that the Mets are always going to lose to Atlanta or they're never going to win a World Series, because if that's the case, then we're wasting our times watching these games. And otherwise, they're just an escape so you don't have to do the laundry or mow the lawn. You know, so at some point, you have to hold out the faith that the team is going to turn it around. And I just felt like all along in these games, okay, they were blowing leads, but all it took was one moment, one opportunity, one game, one series, and if they could get themselves back on track, back in their winning waves, get a little momentum, all of a sudden they could take off. And I really feel like that's what happened this past weekend against Seattle. So they are going to the postseason. I've said that all year long. The NL East is absolutely still in play. You take it one step at a time here. But I think the paranoia, or the, not the paranoia, but the reaction to all these losses, as frustrating as it was, I always knew and always felt comfortable that they would turn it around because Lindor would get hot, Soto's going to hit with runners in scoring position, and yes, David Stearns has built an elite bullpen that will show itself to be elite at some point here down the stretch.
Yeah, but it was just hard to watch August. It was so many losses in a row. Four wins in August. It's the 17th, 18th, and they've only had four wins in August. That's how rough it's been.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And I think that in some ways last year, and you kind of touched upon that as far as whether it was, you know, Seymour Wiener, whether it was the rally pimp and pimping ain't easy, whether it was Grimace. Whether it was
Hawk-tua.
You know, my bubble of the Hawk-tua girl, or I don't know, Positive Tommy. There was so much OMG. There was a lot of fun. It was a dog and pony show. It was a lot of shtick, which I can appreciate. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it was also the team. You know
of
what
course.
I mean? Above all, like the shtick and all the bells and whistles was more for the fans to kind of rally around.
Yeah,
you know
but
what I
feel
mean?
Like the players had the same thing though. Like they were all bought in on the Iglesias OMG. It's not nonsense. I was going to say nonsense, but it wasn't nonsense.
It was like a theme song.
Because it was real. It was a theme song for them. And sometimes you just need a little motivation. It gave it to them. They're not going to have that this year. The only way they're going to get it done is to what you're alluding to, Tommy. By balling. By playing. By being great when you're asked to be so. And over the last two games, it's felt more like that.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. Evan and Tiki here. Evan and Sean on vacation. So, Tommy, Tiki, we got you all week long. We will get to the Yankees later on in the show. Why I believe they have, they being the Yankees, a Max Fried problem. Expansion coming to baseball. Rob Manfred had a lot to say about that last night. And, of course, Giants, Jets, the Snoopy Bowl, which I forgot they even called it the Snoopy Bowl. That's been brought to my attention that they still call it the Snoopy Bowl. We will get into that, all the hype surrounding Jackson Dart, the Jets offense, if you want to even call it that, maybe offensive at this point. We'll discuss that. A lot to get into. Still waiting the news on the MRI for Francisco Alvarez. My guess is the Mets are off today. We might not get that news until tomorrow officially. I mean, a beat reporter might have it and they may tweet it out, so we're monitoring that. And look, Alvarez has been hot ever since he's been called back up. The issue with him is that he's, I mean, let's just say it, he's injury prone. He gets hurt a lot.
Well, he slides head first.
Well, not only...
Do you think you're Ricky Henderson?
They did a great job of explaining this on the broadcast last night about the head first slide. Apparently, you got to keep your, like, fingers up, you know what I mean? And he didn't do that, and that's why he jammed his thumb. So even the guys that wear the oven mitts, they have to keep their fingers up a little bit, and he didn't do that. He jammed his thumb, stayed in the game as a runner, and then the next inning, Torrens was behind the plate. So hopefully we send him positive vibes and good news that he's able to stay healthy, especially because he's swinging a hot bat. And I like, you know, our boy LT there, Luis Torrens, as David Stearns was calling him. But defensively, I mean, offensively, he doesn't give you much. And right. Obviously it will shorten the lineup if Alvy's out. you know. So we'll wait on that news. Another thing, too, I wanted to bring up to you, Tiki, and this didn't bother me, but maybe it bothers you and it might bother some other fans out there. Look, I think the baseball has done a really cool job of finding locations that change things up a little bit. It's monotonous. It's a 162-game season, way too many games, in my opinion.
You're not going to get the new viewer.
Right. Like, it's like, oh, another game in Seattle. Who cares? But when they do these kind of games in, you know, Field of Dreams, mm-hmm. or they do Williamsport, or they were at like a racetrack or something a couple of weeks ago, I'm all for it. I think it's a really cool experience. Now, you lose a little bit with atmosphere last night. It had that sort of almost a spring training kind of vibe because it was only, you know what, like a couple hundred people there.
Exactly.
So you're not really getting the loud noises that you normally get. But so the guys and the players spent the entire day with the little leaguers. And I know I saw Sean Manaea did it. I think Alonso did it. Julio Rodriguez did it. They slid down a hill. Now...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I have no issues with this because I say this all the time. And I brought it up with the boat game with Odell and all them.
Right.
Teak, you played sports, so you don't have to out any of your
photos. Nothing. It's like nothing. No, it's nothing to worry about until it is.
This is what I would say about most professional athletes. I mean, anybody outside of, you know, Eli Manning, who basically ate, you know, a PB&J with the crust cut off on Saturday nights before the games, I would imagine most of these players are hitting the town. And anytime you leave your apartment or hotel room, you are in some type of danger. Is that fair to say?
There's peril, whether it's physical or emotional.
Or monetary.
Monetary.
Maybe all three in one.
There is peril for sure.
Yeah.
So the point is you got to be very aware all the time. Because people, even if they're not intending to do something to you, as soon as they recognize who you are, it's going to spark. Like, oh, maybe I can get away with whatever.
Sure.
Sometimes it's like I want to pick a fight with a star athlete.
Because he's rolling out of the club at 3 a.m.
If I pick a fight and he hits me, then now I can sue.
Yeah, or like, it'll go viral or whatever.
If you don't think about those things, then they're more likely to happen to you.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I always say about like people that are famous is that you are always famous. Like Tiki, whenever he leaves here, like Tiki is always Tiki Barber. It's like, and that's why he says when he goes on vacation, and by the way, and we'll get into the vacation stuff on WFAN in a little bit because I've seen a lot of people tweeting about it. I got a few messages about it. Tiki, you're going on vacation next week to...
Yes, Greece.
Greece. I've always wanted to go.
Me too. That's why we're finally going.
So my goal in life, and there is no age limit there, so I don't care that I'm going to be 40. My goal in life is to get to Ibiza, or Ibiza, as the locals would call it. That's like my dream vacation.
Never been there either.
But Rami just said with or without my wife. You're allowed three dumb questions. That might be the dumbest question ever. If I'm going to Ibiza, she's not coming with me. Now, if she finds her way there, I can't technically keep her out of Ibiza. Like, I can't go to the local officials in Spain and go, this is a picture of my wife. Do not let her in the country. I wouldn't ever invite her there. Now, you might say, what a bad guy. I guess. But you know what, though? There's guys' trips. There's gals' trips. She can go somewhere else. So, no.
My wife. That means he's taking us.
Exactly. So, when it comes to Greece... I heard Mykonos is like the new Ibiza, where it's this really fun island. There's a lot of partying. There's a lot of this and that going on, more this, more that. But I've always wanted to go. And I haven't really been outside the country much. But anyway, the reason I brought that up, Tiki, is that Tiki says he likes to go to like these foreign countries because they don't watch football. And you could just be Tiki Barber there. You're not the Giants' all-time leading rusher in Greece.
It's true.
But if you go down the shore, you know, and you're at Snooki's house, you're going to get not bothered. That's the wrong word. But you're going to get noticed and recognized, and it becomes less of a vacation.
That's right. That's why when we travel, it's a team. I don't even risk.
Right.
What's your name? A team.
Exactly.
A team.
Yeah,
there's no chance that maybe even partially someone recognizes who I am. A team. Oh, you must be from Africa.
And the reason I brought that up, because of sliding down the hill. So it's one thing if a player goes to a strip club and gets a scratched coronary. And I don't know why that would happen, but let's just say that happened. That's on his own time. Major League Baseball is telling these players to slide down a hill. And I don't have an issue with it, but just imagine If, because Sean Manaea actually tumbled at the end, now he should be fine, but think about like Stanton going down the hill.
What if he's not, though?
Yeah.
Seriously, what if you slide and you're like, oh, this is cool, and you try to stop yourself, you catch your foot, you flip over, and you separate your shoulder.
Right, he pulls a butt muscle, and he's out for 2 months, and Major League Baseball is going to say, well, you know, it was good for the game. So I don't want to be necessarily like a downer on that. It just went through my brain last night, if I could take my positive Tommy cap off for a second.
That's the old school Mets cap. That's the negativity of Mets fans creeping in a little bit, because Brandon Nimmo was in this cardboard box that looks like a car, and he's going like 4 miles an hour down a hill with an 8-year-old, and they're crashing into each other like bumper cars.
That's also just me being a person that doesn't, you know, seek adventure. Like, if I'm going to go down a hill, there better be snow, and I better
lead us.
I better be in like a toboggan. I don't understand going down a hill, which is very like rigid, and you have, like you said, like a cardboard box, and you're
going. You don't want a hard landing.
Exactly.
If you're going to go down a hill, there better be a soft landing.
They weren't wearing helmets.
Helmets? They're going 2 miles an hour.
You're not going 2 miles an hour down a hill. There's momentum. And I'm just wondering if you tumble, if you get hurt. Just imagine.
Julio Rodriguez almost lost an ACL. Did you see this?
He almost got clipped at the end,
yeah,
right?
The security guard tumbled after him as he's standing up and takes out his legs from behind.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Wow. Yep.
I'm glad you brought that out, Rami, because I brought up the Manaea, you know, flipping over. So just imagine if a Yankee or a Met got injured, and it was because they were tumbling down a hill. Like I said, if they want to go to Mykonos and hang out on a yacht with only fan models, great. I mean, that's part of being rich and famous. But baseball's down. And the little kids go down it because, you know this, Teak, you got a million kids. They're invincible.
Right.
You can throw them against the wall. Not that you should, but they won't get hurt.
They don't get hurt because they're low to the ground.
Yes.
When they fall, it's not a long way to go.
But we're dealing with major league athletes, including one in this town, and Giancarlo Stanton, who is literally been on the shelf with soreness. He hasn't played a game in like days because he's.
He pitch hit.
We'll get to him later. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to Max Fried later. Giants, a lot to mix in here. But we started out with the Mets and your calls. 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki, Tommy and Tiki here. Evan and Sean on vacation. Let's go to Sam in Rockland. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Taking my call. I want to talk about Ryan Helsley.
Yeah.
Is he the new Devin Williams? Because in high leverage situations, he sucks, but yesterday they put him in relatively low leverage, and he was good.
You know, it's funny.
Is it a mental issue with him?
Yeah, here's the thing, and I appreciate the call, Sam. It's hard to be the new Devin Williams because Devin Williams is still new. So I'm trying to figure out how you could be the new Devin Williams when Devin Williams is still the new Devin Williams. Now, as far as Ryan Helsley goes, and they brought it up on the broadcast last night, when I thought they made some good points. I believe it was David Cone. By the way, David Cone, and I like David Cone. I know people that know him personally. He seemed disinterested in the broadcast. I got to be honest with you. Like, he wasn't engaging with the guests.
Right.
He wasn't asking questions.
He wasn't impressed by the Little League, game.
Maybe he was.
He's like, this is so corny. I guess I got to do it, so I'm going to, whatever.
Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but David Cone, I'm watching a game, and basically there was a couple times where Carl Ravage had to basically nudge him to wake up and be like, David, do you want to, you know, interject here and ask a question to the 12-year-old kid that's playing in this Little League game? Anyway, I think it was Cone that brought it up on the broadcast, and yeah, Helsley is a guy that got traded. He is going to be a free agent at the end of the season, new market, and when you have a little bit of a struggle early on, it can become mental.
Yeah.
Now, I think
it feels like it's mental.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at his game log back to his last few games in St. Louis. I mean, he didn't give up a run for seven appearances, and then he gets here, and it's like two runs every single time he takes the mound.
Right, and I think that even when you look back to last year, you know, the most saves, and he's got great stuff, so you see that. I think with Williams, we could all agree that he's probably not, and we've heard this a lot, it's a bit of a cliche, built for New York, right? Mm. You're not built for New York. And what I think when people say that, it is that it's not so much that you're not built for New York, per se, but there's a lot of, you know, scrutiny that you get,
right,
and it's how you respond to that scrutiny that I think builds your character and whether or not you could be, you know...
You're right. So the issue is you can't not hear it. You can tell yourself, oh, I'm not listening to the scrutiny. I don't hear the media. I don't hear the fans. I'm not listening to it at all. But you're lying because you always hear it. You always feel it. And even if you're not looking at social media or reading the newspapers, you hear it in the stadium.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
You hear it in the ballpark.
Yep, and
so
100%.
So to your point, you're dead on. It's not about ignoring it. It's about how you respond to it. And so what happens? Do you get passive? Do you get pissed off? Or do you get resolute to make them want to cheer? And so having been through this and having been booed at Giant Stadium many times because of fumbling issues,
yeah,
like I became determined to make them cheer again. And so it's weird because it's different in baseball, but it's the same principle. It's not about ignoring it and blocking them out. I don't listen to those guys. Y'all don't know what y'all are talking about. I'm the one in the. It's not that. It's actually combating the demon that's causing them to boo, as opposed to getting mad at the people who were negative on you for whatever reason because of your performances.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to take negativity in life, both as a performer, a professional athlete, whatever the case may be. One of which is to take it as motivation fuel.
Right.
Whether it is to shut them up or just to be like, you're right, I have been playing like crap and I need to be better. And the other way route to take, and this is the route you don't want to take, is to be sensitive about it, to take it personally, and to impact your performance even more. Like, Devin Williams is a really good reliever, but he has been swallowed up by New York. He just has. We've seen it before, whether it's a Jason Bay, guys that have had success, they come here, and the bright lights and the scrutiny, they get off to a bad start, and they're terrible. Now, the thing to answer the caller's question, I don't think Helsley's in that spot, but I will say this, and they brought this up on the broadcast last night. I think it was Perez, and it was just, I almost like was like, come on, dude. He goes, this is really good for Ryan Helsley to be in the park tonight because he could think back to being a 12-year-old in Little League again and relax him. No, he doesn't have some guy calling him a jackass. That's
right.
Why he's relaxed.
Right.
It's because these little kids are just there to eat popcorn, and they probably don't know who Ryan Helsley is. I think it was the best thing for him last night, even though he had a lot of pitches, he had a clean inning, and he got a little bit away from the Met fan, because you could become public enemy number one in this town real quick. And
easily.
Once you're on that list, you're like Al Capone. You don't get off the list. You're on that list forever, and the fans never let you hear it down, you know? 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Pablo in Cali. What's up, Pablo?
Hey, Pablo.
Yo.
Hey, what's going on, TQ?
What's up?
This is when you talk, Pablo. Don't worry.
Pablo.
I'll take you through it step by step.
Pablo dropped on
us. Oh, Pablo. He was going to get into that I'm a generational talent. I'm the future of the station. Mm. Tiki, you should be in the Hall of Fame. I met Rondé one time when you guys were doing a book signing for your cartoon book.
Probably at the Super Bowl, because they were out in San Diego. He was in California. Maybe that's when he met
Rondé. Yeah, absolutely. And maybe the cell
kiss ass, dude.
Well, no, he wouldn't tell him to do that.
Well, come on.
Sounds like he was about to kiss
come
yours.
Come on, Rom.
They
why,
do.
Why are you making me sound like I hated the guy?
Yeah. No, he was kissing yours.
Oh, but that's like an angry drop.
I feel you.
Yeah, we need to find a drop of Tiki saying kiss my ass, but
yeah,
like
but
in
nicely,
a positive.
Like,
yeah.
Here, record this. Ready? Hey, kiss my ass.
Hey, this is Tiki Barber. You can hear me on Giants pre and post this year on WFAN. And please, kiss my ass when you call the show. Thank you. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Richie is in Queens. What's up, Richie?
What up, Richie?
Hey, guys. Hey, Tiki, congratulations. You're going to a real welcome addition to that show.
Thank
it was
you.
A good show anyway, but you add to it.
I'm looking forward
and
to
really
it.
I'm excited about the Giants this year. I really am.
It's hard not to after two preseason games.
Yeah, Tommy, if you can give me a minute real quick.
You
got some good relievers. I really believe that. You got my guy Rogers from the Giants. Rogers is not a guy, Tommy, don't bring him in with men on. He's a soft contact guy, but he's got a good pedigree. You're going to like him.
Yeah, I've been a fan of his for a while. He's been on my, I'm just going to say he's been on my fantasy team for the last couple of years. And you're right. He does give up a lot of soft contact. And when you do, you sometimes have hard luck. And there's, ground ball with eyes.
Yeah,
and you give
that's
up a
why
run.
I was really upset with Senger when he took him out at that point to bring him in. Senger, let him finish, man. Get that recipe of guys completing games, because I really feel they're going to turn things around. With the bullpen, it's going to be stronger. They're going to get their stuff together. I think the starters will pick it up. Senger, I think, obviously pick it up. Peterson is not going to fall apart after four walks. Obviously, Manaea's got to come back a little bit. So can they make a run with Wheeler being out? And Suarez and Sanchez are showing signs. They wanted to go to a six-man rotation, obviously, with Wheeler out with a blood clot. That could be really, really
bad. Yeah, Richie, I appreciate the call. That's scary. Zach Wheeler on the IL with a blood clot. That happened
up around the shoulder, I think they said.
Well, Zach
clots scare the hell out of me.
Right?
Because you just have no idea. Like, until...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's until it's too late sometimes.
Right. You could pass right. away from that from stuff those, if you like fly or something. Like, it's scary. Yeah. I hear about that like a lot with wrestlers or like a post surgery, right. Like you could get a blood clot. And obviously the guy, and wish him the best. I mean, I don't care if he's a Philly or that goes out the window. But when you hear stuff like that, that's a scary diagnosis. That's not your normal, you know, soreness or hamstring injury. That's one of those ones where you're like, you could totally understand, like, mm-hmm. All right, dude, step away from baseball. It's not worth your health right. or your life to be out there with blood clots. That's for sure. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. All right, I see. This is where I'll be a little trepidatious here. Mm-hmm. Now, our buddy John in Maspeth, as you know, who is a Yankee fan, and he is. He's a real Yankee fan. He's most famous for his Fire Brian Cashman nights, which he sends out invitations, yet he's the only one that attends, which I feel bad for him. I feel like he sends out flyers, you know, everybody come join me for the Fire Brian Cashman night. And then you see photos, and it's literally just John standing there with a sign. So I appreciate the commitment, but perhaps he needs to get the word out there more to get more people to attend his nights. Anyway, the point is that he oftentimes cares more about Met misery than mm-hmm. he does Yankee prospering.
Right, and trolling the Mets.
Trolling that.
And catalyzing negativity around the Mets.
Right, he'll drive across, or drive past Citi Field, and he will like curse at Juan Soto. Juan Soto, you know, he can't hear you. He has no idea what's going on. You're basically yelling at the guy selling hot dogs outside Citi Field, or hubcaps, basically. So, but that's what John does. They're funny. We've played him here on the radio before on Evan and Tiki. On the screen, it says positive Mets call from John and Maspeth. Mm. So I will tread lightly here. Is that safe to say, Johnny? Do I have a good read on that I should be treading lightly?
All right. First off, Tommy, happy birthday. Happy early birthday to not only you, but me. We actually share the same birthday.
Well, that just made my day not. We have the same birthday?
Oh, so anyways, boy. Yes, Nolan McLean, what a start. You know, I watch the game. I uh-huh. like watching him pitch. Uh-huh. Listen, let me finish, though.
You got it.
His curveball was great. Mm-hmm. His curveball has the highest spin rate there is in all of baseball this year, which is a huge positive, right? And it kind of makes me think, why not bring up, you know, Sproat soon and maybe Tong? Major League Baseball hasn't seen these pitchers. And the Mets have a good thing. You know, I saw a tweet out there this weekend that was like, you know, hypothetically comparing, like, you know, Jonathan to Jacob DeGrom, McLean to Matt Harvey, Sproat to Noah Syndergaard, you know, Christian Scott to Zach Wheeler and all that. And I really hope that these prospects turn out to be pitchers like those players. Because
I know there's a swerve coming.
John.
If it happens, I will be very happy, because that means that they would have no rings.
There you go, John. John never disappoints. He's like Novocaine, just give it time, it always works. You knew something was coming there. And honestly, I can't even fight him on that closing line there, that sort of the mic drop, because he's right. But in reality, if we could take away the trolling there of mm-hmm. John and Maspeth, he's right. I mean, McLean gave you that jolt, that boost, and it's impossible not to get excited when you see a young star pitcher come up like that and pitch great. So if the other kids want to come up, I'm all for it, right, because it's that shot in the arm, you know?
Yeah, but with McLean, it was the hype. There was so much hype. And to actually live up to it, there's something to that. There's something that lifts everybody. It's obviously the fan base, but ultimately you got to do it again in 5 more days. And then hopefully again in 5 days after that. And then hopefully again 5 days after that. So it's just the beginning. And it's you don't want to get too hyped on him yet, but give him credit for a good start, for sure.
No, absolutely. And you saw that Mendy took him out after the strikeout to Rodriguez, which is a George Costanza. You leave on a high note, and I could see social media was like melting down. And a lot of people and a lot of Met fans have gotten on Carlos Mendoza for, well, he leaves, it's like a Goldilocks. You know, he leaves this guy in too long, he leaves this guy in too short. And when you are a manager, and you could look at any manager year in and year out in baseball, there are so many different scenarios where you could scrutinize, hey, should have left this guy in. Why didn't he leave this guy in? I'll tell you why. Because, and I understand the Mets have been, you know, historic in terms of the amount of people that have made starts for them and guys that haven't gotten into the sixth inning. But overall, the general philosophy in baseball is that you want to get to your bullpen, especially when you have elite arms. Well, Lugie, Helsley hasn't, yeah, but he is an elite arm.
Right.
Whether he's shown it or not is obviously he hasn't, but he has elite stuff. He has electric stuff. Rogers is an elite reliever. Diaz, we know. So you want to get to those guys as quickly as humanly possible. So Mendy will go to the bullpen because he knows that's the strength of a team, and that's just where baseball's headed. So it, I think a lot of people get nuts with that.
I mean, unfortunately, it is, because you'd love to see the resurrection of the starting pitcher length. And David Peterson gave that to you for a lot of this season, his last start notwithstanding. You give him a pass on one start. But it's so hard to consistently get your bullpen to get 12 outs. It's just hard. And so as much as we look at what David Stearns did at the deadline and bringing all these relievers all on 1 year deals because you know you're going for it type of thing, you're still taxing them every night. I mean, maybe it turns out to be the elixir or whatever the right formula, but you need your starters to be better. That's how you end up getting into the postseason and winning deeply there. It's not by having a great bullpen. It's by having great starting pitching, period.
Now, Mrs. Met was at Williamsport or in Williamsport last night for the Little League game. That was an education for those kids, I would imagine. And I remember the first time I ever saw Pam Anderson on my television screen, and I just realized...
Baywatch?
It had to... No. So it was not Baywatch. My buddy... who he should be in some type of Hall of Fame somewhere, because he was the type of guy that, yes, you're right, Baywatch is obvious.
Right.
We used to have, it wasn't Blockbuster, but like the mom and pop video stores back in the day.
Yeah, of course, I remember that.
And you didn't even have to go in the curtain section. I'm talking about the regular section. There is a movie with Pam. Let me get the name. Snapdragon, I think it's called.
What? I don't know this one.
I think that's the name of it. It's Pam Anderson, who I just think the world of. I believe the movie is called Snapdragon. I'm looking it up here on my phone. Just give me 1 minute. Barbed wire is another big one. Snapdragon?
It's Snapdragon.
Okay.
1993, a police psychologist's obsession with a beautiful and sensual amnesiac.
Yeah, the central part's the only thing that caught me.
How about this description on IMDb?
Yes.
Two men have already been killed during intercourse by a prostitute. The young Sergeant Peckham is transferred from Vice to Homicide Squad for the investigation.
Yes. So this is 93. So this is young Pam. This might have even been before Baywatch. So my buddy rents this movie and he goes, dude, we're going to watch Snapdragon together. And then we're having like, guys, yes, used back in the day, we'd have like sleepovers and stuff like that. You play video games and you watch, you know, Pam Anderson movies. So I think that might have been my first like real, because even like Baywatch, yeah, you get an education. But when you watch Snapdragon, that's rated R, you get a real education. You're like, really? That's how...
Look at these boobies.
That's what's coming up. That's what's happening. Was that Giannotti, by the way, Ronnie? I didn't even know we could say those words. I guess between 6 and 10, you can. I always like try to skate the line here, but I guess I can say those words. Anyway, my point is that Mrs. Metz walking around Williamsport, you got to imagine that was probably more exciting than watching, you know, a Pete Alonso AB. Would you say 12, 13? That is like... 12 or 13 is like, you are just everything. The world is your oyster at that point when you're a young kid, especially at the Little League World Series. You're probably away from... I don't know if you're away from your family. Does your family come to the World Series?
I think they go. So at least some families will go. Maybe not all of them, but some families will go.
And I have to cop to something. I have to admit something here, and you'll appreciate this. I thought Williamsport was in Virginia. It's in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Why did I think it was in Virginia?
Because you're thinking of Williamsburg.
Am I?
Yes.
No, but there's a million towns with Berg. There's 100 Sunset Boulevards in California, and every town in PA and Virginia is Berg. I thought forever Williamsport was in Virginia. Now, Paul's going to come out with something enlightening here, or he's going to call me an idiot, which is fine. Door number one, I'm an idiot. Door number two, you're an idiot, but that's fine. Just
no, it's
me.
Williamsburg, Pennsylvania. And for you thinking for your almost 40 years now that it was in Virginia.
Williamsport. Williamsburg is in Virginia.
But is there anything special about Williamsburg, Virginia?
Yeah, it's where William and Mary is.
Yeah.
It's a historical
city. Are you serious? I'll stop talking.
What is the amusement park there? I forget it.
Oh, Busch Gardens.
Busch Gardens. Historical.
Speaking of Snapdragon.
They call it Busch Gardens. Yeah. So
I've been there. And
it's actually pretty cool.
I've been to because I had I have family in Virginia, which I've told you. And we did King's Dominion, which is a theme park down there. And we did Busch Gardens, but here's the problem with me, too. And we'll get back to your calls here in 1 second, I promise. I'm afraid of roller coasters. I am. If you take me to Six Flags, it's everybody going on the rides, and then there's me, an old lady, and a dude with heart problems, and we're eating funnel cakes on the bench waiting for everybody to get off the rides. I am scared out of my mind.
What about
somebody,
a log flume?
Log flume's okay because it's not really a
you're
roller coaster.
You're not falling. You're not like, you're just,
well, they have the little log thing.
You're kind of grounded the whole time. The log flume's easy.
Very easy.
The roller coaster is like, what happens if it comes off the track? That's what I think about every time I get on a roller coaster.
Because I would imagine Tiki's daughters, Brooklyn, Tegan, love roller coasters.
100%.
They're fearless, these kids.
Fearless. They
fearless.
Don't care.
And I am scared to death being on these things. And somebody told me once, why don't you go on one? Perhaps it will curtail your fears. So I went on one of the ones at Six Flags. It went upside down. It might have been a Batman and Robin ride, whatever the case may be. And I'm standing there online, literally, like I've gone online before on roller coasters and ran off the line before. I'm not ashamed to say it. But I'm looking around and there's 12-year-old girls. There's a 70-year-old dude. There's a lady that's like maybe 3 months pregnant, which I'm not even sure you're allowed to be on the ride. And I'm going, I'm scared to death.
I'm a baby.
There's something wrong with me. And then I get on the ride and go, there's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with society. Because this was not fun. This is not fun. You want an adrenaline rush, you watch Snapdragon. You don't go to a theme park. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Ken is in Rockland. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, kid.
Hi, I want to talk about Juan Soto.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think two things. Number one, he should lose about 8 pounds. Three, he should become a DH, let somebody play right field who can field.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like he tries hard out there.
Well, Ken, let me. We'll go through one at a time here. What made you spun the wheel? What made you land on 8 pounds exactly? Are you a nutritionist? Why didn't you round up to 10? What made you go 8?
Because I'm looking at him, at his body, it looks like he's a little soft. He got the contract, and he looks like he's not trying as hard as he might.
Well, those are two different things, though. Can you tell somebody looks soft, Teague, in a baseball uniform?
It's hard, but sometimes bad bodies are deceptive. I got to tell you who looked soft, who was one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen.
Looked soft, but one of the greatest.
And you'll agree with me as soon as I say it. Football.
Football, he looks soft, but... I got it.
Who?
Barry Sanders.
Well, Barry was jacked, but you couldn't tell.
Damn.
Because he's so squat.
Yeah.
Marshall Faulk.
Yes.
Marshall Faulk had that body. You'd look at him and be like,
I saw a belly.
Yes.
Right.
I see a belly. But then you see him ball and you're like, dang, this dude is awesome. Thousand season, Super Bowl champion, just did stuff on the field that didn't make any sense. So bad bodies don't mean anything. It's athleticism can be hidden behind a little flabby facade.
We also have gotten to the point in, we'll just call it sports society, where we deem the modern athlete fat. Like somebody thinks a Juan Soto is fat, or Pete Alonso is fat, or Vlad Jr. is fat. I know when I was growing up, like baseball players were legitimately fat. Like, John Kruk was fat. The guy was, ripping heaters and chasing strippers around at 4 a.m. and eating cheeseburgers. Now what is considered fat is fit fat.
It is.
People think Patrick Mahomes is fat.
Fat.
But he's not. He's because he has a dad bod. But he's great.
But, and this is what I admire about you, Tiki. Like, being in shape is annoying. Like, it's hard to be, to be ripped and to have abs and to have muscles. It's a lot easier to be,
It's a societal change that's happened over the last, 15 years, where you're supposed to be ripped just because. And the only way to get that is if you're genetically that way or you're taking stupid supplements. Testosterone and Andro or whatever heck you're doing.
So which one are you?
Neither. I'm just naturally. You should see me when I was a 5 or a 6 year old. We just had muscles.
So, no, you said genetically or
steroids. I'm genetic. But I worked my ass off.
Wait, too. Five or six you had muscles?
I had like abs. Like me and Rondé had these like
You must have been a
abs.
Hit in kindergarten at the block center. I mean, the block station. I mean, you and Rondé, wait a minute. What are you at, like Venice Beach? You ripped at five or six?
No, we just had abs. That's it. We didn't have any muscle. We just had abs.
I would say 95% of our station at five or six, they had, you know, braces, let alone like anyone else that works here. Besides Tiki, well, Boomer, I would say, that had abs and muscles at 5 or 6 years old or at any point in their life. Keith's in good shape.
Keith definitely has abs.
He's in great shape.
There's no doubt about it.
When Keith walks by me, I get annoyed. I go, damn it, what the heck's going on here? He's in really good shape. And then who else? Like, most of the people you walk around here, it looks like the bar scene in the original Star Wars when you look at the people that work here. You're like, oh my God, I know you like that shirt, but you could change it after 3 days straight. You got to see this place on the...
weekends, it's worse.
I promise you, we got to go here in a second here. Were you here on... You were here on Saturday, right?
No,
oh,
I was
you were
not.
Home.
I was at the stadium.
Oh, you were at the stadium.
Everything was at the stadium this weekend.
Because Tiki's obviously now doing pre and post Giants here on the radio station.
Way games, I can either be here or I'll go to the stadium.
Go to the stadium.
Right.
Because when you look around this place, I'm telling you, when you look around this place and it's Summers walking around, and I love Steve, but Steve is somewhere between, you know, I don't want to say, let me not say anything mean. Can I say something? You know, Steve is Steve, all right? Steve has looked, I am convinced that Steve died 30 years ago, and this is just somehow Steve's spirit walking around the earth. Like, he just, like, because he's just Steve. Steve has looked old since I've known him. I know him 40 years ago, basically. And then you got some of the people working here, and I go, boy, if Giannotti ever got a look at some of these guys, I mean, they look like, you know, just like, not that we're the great specimens, but the weekends, it could get a little dicey around here.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.